Say a word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you that we can come together tonight and look in your word here, Lord. And God, we ask your blessing on it. Lord, we ask that you make it fruitful to us, fruitful for your kingdom. Here, Lord, open our eyes to see, to understand. Open our hearts, Lord, to hear this wisdom, to not act like we're accustomed to it or that we know it already, Lord, but teach us fresh here, Lord. Give us fresh eyes and fresh ears to hear, to understand, and to then employ it. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you've spoken to us, and we have this opportunity to look at it and talk about it together, Lord. We pray this all for your glory and in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, Proverbs 10, we come to what people normally think of when they think of the book of Proverbs, which are Proverbs, right? We've had a lot of introductory sorts of material in the first 9 chapters, but now we come to the meat of it. And I knew this was going to be a bit of a challenge for me on how to teach it. There's not a whole lot of examples on how someone has gone and taught through Proverbs, other than I think what oftentimes people do is they'll take the Proverbs in these, well, pretty much chapter 10 through chapter 29, and they'll separate them out into categories. Okay, so this one is about, we'll do a lesson on laziness, okay? And look at all the Proverbs in those, what, 19 chapters, 20 chapters that talk about laziness. Then we'll the next time we'll look at investing, wise investing, or whatever it may be. Go through that. But as I mentioned before, I don't know if I always draw this out, but I try to pay a lot of attention to the structure of a book as a whole. Okay? And I'm not... my default is always that there is some kind of structure, as opposed to some guy or girl in the past just throwing a bunch of Proverbs in a hat, pulling them out. Oh, here's chapter 10, verse 1. Right there. Here's chapter 10, verse. They're not, I don't think they're random. I've mentioned that before. I do think there is, or at least I want to think there's some kind of structure to it, without trying to impose some kind of structure. Anyway, so I was really wondering how am I going to teach this, and I figured I'll just ramble on about the structure of it, and then we'll be done. No, I'm kidding. Okay. But so if there's no structure, then yeah, the topical would probably be the best way to do it, because to go through each one individually. I added them up. There are, if I didn't miss any, there's, and just counting the verses, which I think is pretty much per proverb, there's 595 verses or proverbs between chapters 10 and 29. So we'd be here for a while if we just went one by one. Chapter 30 begins the Proverbs, the wisdom of Agor, and then chapter 31 is Lemuel, followed by the beautiful woman, Proverbs 31 woman. So I did research. It was biased research because I already thought there has to be some kind of structure here, and I found some helpful guides that also think there's a structure. So you have in your notes how I'm seeing chapter 10 structured, and it's a loose structure. It's not that every proverb necessarily is going to speak on the same thing per se, or that it's going to build, you know, that you'll have seven proverbs in a row and they're all going to build to something. Not necessarily, but I think there's some kind of flow, there's some kind of pattern here that and this is what I want to try to mine out as we go through these next 20 chapters of Proverbs, instead of just exegeting one by one. I want to kind of draw out the structure. And you'll see for the first half of your outline, at least, I have the text there, okay, the actual text from Proverbs. And it's, you'll the first one there, the first five verses, you see it's indented funny. And then some other, as you go on, some other funny indentations and the A, B, C, and so on in parentheses. what I'm trying to do there is lay out the kind of flow and how these verses are being patterned off of each other. if you look at down at the Roman numeral 3, starting at verse 6, you see it's A, B, C, B, C, A. Okay, so I'm trying to pick out the theme, okay? And I have, you know, I have some a lot of highlights on my notes to draw this out too. If you look at the end of verse 6 and the end of verse 11, basically say the same thing, right? The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. if you look up at Roman numeral 2, the preparation for God's blessing, actually, it's Roman numeral 1, sorry, on yours. Preparation for God's blessing. Verse 1 talks about a wise son and a foolish son. Verse 5 is also talking about a wise son, prudent son, and a son who brings shame. I think there's some kind of, they call it bracketing or inclusio is a technical word for it. That it's certain passages are sandwiched, you know, between two ideas. And then the first one there, Roman numeral 1, it's chiastic. Okay, I talked about that before, I think. Where one verse has one idea, the next verse has another idea, and then those are the first and the last verses parallel, the second and the, in this case, the second and the fourth verses parallel, and then threes there in the middle. So what I want to try to do is to draw out the structure of how I'm seeing these sections laid out. For you, you don't have the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 verses, just because it would have had to go on the third page, and that would have been more of a more cumbersome for making notes. But you'll get the idea. All right, so what we have here is it's leading up to these proverbs, I think, are in some way leading up to God's blessing. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And there is, I've really tried to mull this over and think through this. And there is there is an element that I'm seeing this outline, right? The preparation for God's blessing, the path toward God's blessing, and then prolonging God's blessing. The last, I don't know, 10 verses or so, it's really talking about the length of life. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. It has that kind of idea. Whereas in the beginning of the chapter, that's that that future looking aspect isn't really there. So I'm just trying to make the case for some sort of structure here, as I have there in your notes. All right, so first, let's read through verse 18. And then we'll get into it. Chapter 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. There's that idea of blessing there again. Verse 6. Verse 7. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. On the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. The wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is their ruin. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. All right, so in this these two sections here, I'm going to draw out some connections, okay? I'm not going to go through and exegete, give example, you know, explain the details, give examples of each proverb here per se, but I want us to see, like I said, if we there's 595 or so of these, all right, that would take forever. If you want to dive deeper, then get a book on Proverbs. What I want to do is at least for today, is to make the case and to draw out some of these connections between the Proverbs and kind of see more of a big picture as opposed to getting into the details. So verse 1 and verse 5, okay, have this structured chiastically, all right, where first two or there's parallel, and then oftentimes it's the middle that's like a turning point sometimes, or like the punch, okay? And I think this one is the punch, or the don't forget this part, it's key. Okay, a wise son makes a glad father, and then a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother, verse 5. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. So the idea here is working, okay? Working, we see in verse 2, treasures, verse 4, poverty makes rich, okay? The treasures gained by wickedness do not profit. We're talking about work, about a not just a wise son, but a one who is a go-getter, one who is not the guy who's going to blow his father's estate and his father's hard work. He's not, I guess they could give some examples. Anyway, never mind. He's a hard worker. He's going to go forth with what his father has started. So working hard is an element of wisdom here. A slack hand causes poverty, verse 4, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Okay? the verse 2, the righteousness delivers from death. So key wisdom point here in these verses is hard work, right? Wise, being wise in your work and doing it well, doing it with diligence. But verse 3, we can't forget verse 3, right? The key, the center of this point here. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. So wise work habits are good, right? They're necessary, but they also don't equal security, right? You can be as wise, as diligent in work as anybody, but ultimately, it's God who protects you, right? It's God who gives the increase. And he does that for the righteous, okay? Not just the conservative guy with decent morals and who is brought up with hard work, a good hard work ethic. The righteous person is the one who God won't let go hungry, right? Who knows what could happen? Your body can break down and you can't work anymore at a young age. No matter what your work ethic is, you're done, right? In many ways. Some catastrophe could happen to your savings or whatever it may be. And God is in control of all of those things. Preparing for God's blessing, okay, is working hard, being diligent in that, but also knowing that everything comes from the hand of God, right? And it's the righteous that he protects, okay? So not thinking that your own work ethic, wisdom isn't thinking that your own work ethic is going to get you somewhere in life. No, but your work ethic, your diligence, your wisdom in these material things is only partly a means by which God uses to protect you. Okay, but that's not to say that hard work is not important. It's wise. It's truly wise. So preparing for God's blessing, the path toward God's blessing. We see that there in verse 6. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And again, I mentioned verse 6 and 11. The last line is the same in both of those. So that's why they're both A in your notes. B, verse 7 and verse 9... Are parallel in a way, and then verse 8 and verse 10 are parallel. So the B's and the C's and A's, they're matching up ideas, okay? They're matching up ideas. So the B, verse 7, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The memory, that is, not the righteous person, what the righteous person remembers, but what he's remembered by, what other people remember him by. That's a blessing. The name of the wicked nobody's going to remember the bum, okay, who didn't do anything for the kingdom or for society. In verse 9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. So these two verses are speaking of security. Okay, so we have the announcement of God's blessing on the head of the righteous, and this is the other side of the sandwich, verse 11. Okay, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, right? We have this life-giving element here, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So he hides his sin, hides the sin of others. He's sneaky and deceitful. And this is all the mouth, right? So the righteous is brings security. Verse 8 and 10. The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. And then look at the end of verse 10. It's the same as the end of verse 8, right? They're matching up. Whoever winks the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin. At first, I was like, whoever winks the eye, what? Like, yeah, usually when I get winked at, it's... I'm getting into trouble. Or not me, but like the other person is. They're saying something they shouldn't be saying, or something that's a little edgy, or they're about to do something that they shouldn't be doing, or, you know, they did something. That kind of thing. You know, I wink at the kids all the time, and that's not it. But, yeah. So, anyway. Some of the illustrations in Proverbs are good. And again, this whole section is about the mouth, isn't it? The mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Babbling fool will come to ruin. So often it is the mouth that gets us in trouble, isn't it? Even if we're not a mouthy person. And it's not just a bad mouth person, but it's a babbling fool. Right, one of the proverbs I had memorized from a younger age is a wise man has something to say, but a fool has to say something. It's so true, right? So I don't know where it is in Proverbs, but we'll come to it eventually. So that's the path toward God's blessing, is guarding the mouth in many ways here. As we see, that it's the mouth that that causes the memory of the righteous to be a blessing. Okay, that of why blessings are on the head of the righteous, why they're in our lives. Walking in integrity often has to do with our what we say, how we say it with our mouth. And ultimately, that mouth is a fountain of life. Verse 11. It breathes life not only into my own well-being, but also into the well-being of others, right? Loose lips don't only sink ships, but they can really screw up a lot of relationships. Ships, relationships. There could be something there. Ships, relationships. We might be able to add that in. All right, then... so... wisdom comes from hard work. Okay, not forgetting that God ultimately is the one who protects, who gives security, who gives us what we need. Even though it's our hard work that plays into that. And then wisdom is also being blessed by God is living wisely with our tongue. And we continue along the lines of the mouth as well. That it's not just our own lives that depend on our speech, but it's also our mouth and the destiny of others, or the future of others. Verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. This is quoted several times in the New Testament, right? Love covers a multitude of sins. So verse 12, as you see, verse 12 and 18 are matched. I won't hold off on this. I'll cover this now. Verse 18, the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. you might not see too much of a match there, So the idea is one who conceals hatred has lying lips. So conceal in that sense is a bad way of concealing something, right? I'm being deceitful. I'm holding in, right? I'm really upset with someone and I'm holding that in. Okay, who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. That's pretty clear there. But in the Septuagint, okay, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, it actually reads something quite different. The first line there, verse 18. And I don't know enough about textual criticism to say which is right, or which is more on track. But I'm seeing these parallels here, okay, how verse 12 and 18 are being matched as the others are matching up as well. And this reading might fit in better actually with the match, with how it matches with verse 12. The Septuagint Greek translation of the Old Testament reads like this. It says, he who forgives hatred, something like he who forgives hatred has righteous lips. Okay? As in he who conceals hatred in a good way. Right? In the how it is in the ESV, the concealing is a bad way, right? I should be who conceals hatred. I should be saying something in a kind and loving manner, right, and not holding it in. But he who conceals, who goes over hatred. I'm concealing it in a good way. I'm not letting someone else's hatred of me affect me, or I'm not letting my sinful nature, the hatred that's boiling up in my sinful nature. I'm putting off that old man. I'm pushing that down, in a good way, in a forgiving, merciful, not holding it against them, kind of way. Doing that has righteous lips, right? Just the parallelism. There's one in all of these proverbs so far. There's a good thing, right? The righteous man, the wise man, whatever it may be. And then the next line is the wicked man. Okay? That's how the Septuagint is reading it. Whereas in the ESV, it's both lines are about the wicked man in that kind of way. Something for you to run with. There's no note. No textual variant note on my in my Bible for this verse, so I would imagine that's probably standard. I don't know. You guys know, you guys know about that, right? If you sometimes in your Bible you'll have little really tiny numbers next to a word or phrase, and you go down and find that same number, and it'll say or. I have one here. I don't know where it comes from though. Or add toil, or and toil adds nothing to it. And the next one is number two, or of his strength, or of iniquity. So there's the different manuscripts. Oh, we talked about this last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago. It's truth underscore. Different manuscripts are saying two different things. And there's enough weight that the Bible translators are saying this is kind of important. They might want to at least let everybody know that this could be an option of how to translate it as well. So that's what those notes are for. Sometimes they'll say some MSS, which is manuscripts, some MSS say this or that, or sometimes it'll say the MT, which is the Masoretic text, the Hebrew text that the rabbis came up with just a couple hundred years after, not long after Jesus. Or say the LXX says, which is the LXX is the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail, especially because I don't have a note of that in my Bible, but Anyway, I think the Septuagint matches up thematically, at least, really well there to really see the parallel of verse 12 and 18, about hatred, about love covers all offenses, right? Forgiving offenses, forgiving hatred, is righteousness, on the lips. So that sort of thing. That's wisdom, right? So wisdom is working hard. It's not just having a good and clean and pleasant mouth, but it's also a forgiving tongue, a forgiving mouth. That's righteousness, and that's wisdom. And then verses 13 and 14 match up, right? Love forgives, but on the lips of him who has understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks sense. And then the wise lay up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool brings ruin near. So again, it's the mouth that so often gets us in trouble. 15, a rich man's wealth is his strong city. The poverty of the poor is his ruin. So a rich man's wealth is what is his security. But the poverty of the poor is their ruin. That's at least in my understanding, that one's a little confusing. Because right, so often in scripture, it's not about your wealth. It's not about your poverty. But I think this is, it's a picture in many ways. And the poverty that they're talking about is like an ingrained kind of laziness, lack of diligence. That's their ruin. And then 16, the wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. So the rich, we have to balance these out too. Verse 15, a rich man, well, you can, the end of verse 16, well, you can get rich in wicked ways, right? In sinful ways. But those sinful ways, the gain of the wicked leads to sin, leads to sin, ultimately, to judgment, the opposite of life, which is in parallel there with the beginning of the verse, verse 16. The wage of the righteous leads to life. And then it breaks off into an additional comment here in verse 17 as we're kind of building through this flow here. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. So we're seeing this path toward God's blessing. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. But also, right, if you don't heed instruction, you don't just lead yourself astray, but you're leading others astray as well. And then finally, verses 19 through 32, the prolonging of God's blessing. So God's blessing comes, verses 1 to 5, to those who work hard and to those who are righteous before God. The path toward God's blessing has a lot to do with our mouth, okay? What we say, how we react, in righteousness, if that is righteousness, we will be secure, okay? We will be inheriting God's blessing. It will be on our head, and it leads to life. It is the path of life. The opposite then for the fool, for the unwise is there as well. So then how do we stay? How do we keep God's blessing going? How do we stay? Well, there's three different aspects here. Again, this is a chiasm. Okay, this is a common literary form in the Old Testament. Okay, so we'll probably be seeing a lot of this. A chiasm, this structure of the first and the last matchup, the second and the second to last matchup, the third and the third to last matchup. Sometimes there's one odd one in the middle, like there is here in verse number 3 on laziness there, verse 26. So try to keep that in mind and try to be looking for those things as we go through and feel more comfortable with them. Because we don't write like this really at all. It's often we see it as redundant, right? Well, why do we see the Old Testament? So, or one of the reasons I think is that why people think the Old Testament is so boring is because a lot of it is chiastic. Even the narrative stories and definitely the prophecies and things. We saw a little bit of that as we went through Isaiah. But it's not as common in the New Testament. Although it is definitely there. But anyway, prolonging of God's blessing. Well, the mouth, again, is a big element here in chapter 10. And that's what we see a lot of, verses 19, 20, and 21, and then again at 31 and 32. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. Again, tongue and heart, but out of the heart the mouth speaks. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. And then again, verse 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Cut off, I think that is, in the covenantal sense. Not like if you have a bad mouth, your tongue is going to get chopped off. But cut off in the covenantal sense of you will be cast out of the community of the Israelite people. Verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. As in, that's what they enjoy. And that's what they like to speak about. So we see these elements here, correcting the tongue, and the beauty of a good tongue. It's choice silver, right? It feeds many, brings forth wisdom, knows what is acceptable, and the opposite for the wicked tongue. On personal security, chapter or verses 22 to 25, and then again 27 to 30. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he has no sorrow with it. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. But the wicked dreads will come upon him, but the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the tempest passes, the wicked is no more, but the righteous is established forever. 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The way of the Lord is a stronghold to the blameless, but destruction to evildoers. The righteous will never be moved, but the wicked will not dwell in the land. So there again, as we match up with verse 3, it's God who makes one secure, right? It's him. It's his blessing. It's the way of the Lord, verse 29. That's a stronghold. So that's staying in God's blessing. And then again, matching up to the themes, some of the themes of verses 1 to 5. The center of this chiasm, which is oftentimes like the either a changing point or a contrasting point or the punch, right, the key. I think here's in part it's the key. And there's only one verse 26. like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. See, such good imagery. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. You want it, the job done right, do it yourself, right? The idea is don't be lazy. Okay? Work hard. You don't want to be vinegar and smoke to your employer, to your father, and stick with the context here of Proverbs, to anybody. But I think to also fit it into the context here, is also don't be lazy in righteousness, right? It's not just don't be lazy in raking the leaves and cleaning out the stables or whatever. It's also don't be lazy in righteousness. Don't forget that God is the one who, verse 3, is the one who doesn't let the righteous go hungry, right? He is the one who blesses. He is the one who's concerned about righteousness. Okay? And notice this interplay here in the words between righteous, right? We have the wicked, the fool. We have the righteous, who we read as the wise. Okay? Verse 11. The mouth of not the wise person, but the righteous person is a fountain of life. Down to verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Not the tongue of the wise, the tongue of the righteous. I think they're often used interchangeably, and it's communicating to us that the wise man is the righteous man. And only the righteous man is the wise man. Okay, so don't be lazy, not just in your going about in your work. Don't be lazy in righteousness. Be diligent. In righteousness, diligent in knowing Christ, diligent in studying the Word, in prayer, in putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Don't be slack in those things, because who sent us, right? We are sent ones, aren't we? Right, verse 26. So is a sluggard to those who send him. We're sent. Christ has sent us into the world, hasn't he? We are sent to do his bidding, to be witnesses, to be ambassadors for Christ. So let's not be vinegar to the teeth and smoke to his eyes in our laziness, or in putting on righteousness. Let's not be sluggards for the kingdom. So are you guys seeing kind of some structure here? Are you agreeing with me on that? Or you don't have to.
I can see what you're talking about. I probably couldn't pick it up, but I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, I have some helpful resources as well. Yeah, and they are Proverbs. It's not a letter. That was, you know, there is some kind of variation and things we wouldn't necessarily expect. But I do think there is some kind of thematic organization to it. I think there is with Psalms too, but that's a different story. You have any thoughts or comments or questions?
I always said to my kids, I wonder why the good Lord gave us 2 ears and only one mouth.
That's right. Yeah. I've heard that before, but I have to remember that.
my problem just be, if you don't behave, I'll thump you in the corner. You ask the kids, that's how they act. He saves my grandkids all the time.
All right, well, let's close them. Jim, would you close us in prayer?
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for another night where we can sit together under the instructions. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit speaking through Jonathan. And we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit opening up our understanding so we can get to know these scriptures better. We praise you and we thank you for it. Just be with us and guide us safely home now and bring us back again the next time. We praise and thank you for this. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.